encourage you to turn your Bibles or the Pew Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're just looking at three verses 1 through 3 today, and connecting back a little bit into the first chapter. Peter writes, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." Just kind of a follow-up with the kids' message. You know, we have our senses, and God has given us these senses as a gift. And we experience the world through them, and we're all different in that way. You know, we emphasize certain senses more than others. And especially if one of the senses is gone, if the hearing is gone, or for some the taste is gone, the others compensate. And when it comes for us to understand the world, again, we approach things a little bit differently. If I want to drive my daughter crazy, and I do at times, I'll have something, and she'll go, "Let me see that." And I'll just hold it up and say, "Okay, see?" And I know it just drives her crazy, because for her to experience the world, it's by touching it. She has to touch it. And so she's not satisfied until she can actually have it in her hands, and then she'll give it back. Everybody experiences the world in a different way, but touch is important for some, just seeing for others. God calls us to use all of our senses to experience Him. We see the glory of God in creation, don't we? We see the beauty of the Lord in each other. We're called to faith by hearing. And so we listen to the Word of God. Worship in some places, and especially back in the time of Israel in the Old Testament, incorporated incense and burnt offerings, and there was an aroma, and so the smell was an important thing. Taste. It's more of a metaphor here that's used, of tasting God. But I think that there is a real sense, not just spiritual, but there's a real sense that we taste of God's goodness in this world. Because all things are given to us as good. We can distort them. But even when we partake of our food each day, we're tasting the goodness of the Lord. God has provided. I think Peter and David, before him, when they said, "Taste the goodness of the Lord," we're talking about something very spiritual, of experiencing God, but still the reality, the physical element is there. As we look at these three verses, I want to invert the order that they have in there and begin with first looking at that tasting aspect of the goodness of the Lord. Because what we're called to do is experience God's goodness, God's grace. That's what we're called to do. That's what faith is. Faith is coming into a place where we experience God's goodness. Comes through the gospel, the good news to us. So we experience this goodness. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There are some people that have a view of God as being perhaps distant, or God is neutral towards people. Or God is perhaps good, but is so righteous that He cuts off anybody who doesn't fit His righteousness completely. And that there is no room for mercy. We come believing in the good news that God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And we want to taste that again and again and again, because that is where our life is found. And it's where the life is found for others. We want to share that with others. Just like we would want to share the bounty of a Thanksgiving meal with family, so we want to share the bounty of God's grace with other people. So we come to experience the Lord's goodness with our senses and to taste and see that the Lord is good. We delight in God. We believe in a God who is infinitely happy, joyful, not a sour God who's just waiting for us to make a mistake, but a God that delights in his own fullness and out of his fullness is gracious to us and wants us to come into his joy. And that's why Jesus could say that he wanted that his joy for his disciples and for us to have that in its fullest sense. And he was sending the Holy Spirit to us. And when we experience the Spirit, we're experiencing God's presence, which is God's joy in us. So we just come back to this. This goodness of God is rooted in who God is, and it's God's love, and it's God's joy, and it's for us. So Peter is saying, taste this goodness of God. Tasting is important, and he gives the image also of, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk. We are going to grow. We're going to be transformed. We're going to change through life. But it comes through something intentional, something very specific. And it's through spiritual nourishment. And so in the church, we believe that we're called to come into faith in Christ and to worship God, which is declaring God's greatness and delighting in him. So there's the joy. But we're called to grow in that. And so we have our Christian education. We have small groups. We want to be spiritually nourished. Now, Peter has something very special in mind in his words that he uses when he talks about like newborn infants. He's not saying to the people he's writing to that all of you are new in the faith. He's saying no matter where you are in your faith, whether you're new to it or even if you are a mature Christian, we still come to God like newborn infants. We've been born again into this new living hope in Christ, and we're to long for something. So we come with the need of an infant that recognizes it needs its mother's milk. We need that nourishment or we're going to die. We're going to be unhappy. Long for the pure spiritual milk. Have a desire. Let that desire be kindled within you. Recognize that without that spiritual milk, you'll be malnourished. And so we long for this. Pure. Now it's interesting, for in English we give the word pure. In the Greek, it's a word that is pure but with a negative. And literally we should say unadulterated or unpure. And he says, long for that. So you don't want something that's impure coming into us, something that might be even 99.9% good and just one little part of it is bad. And the pure spiritual milk is going to come from God. And the word spiritual here ties back into the word which in Greek is logos, which is word or reasonableness. And the Apostle John describes Jesus as the Word. And we refer to Scripture as the Word. Peter does this intentionally. He could have used a word that literally meant spiritual, but he wanted to use something that tied us back into the Word and reason, and that is Scripture. And he does that just before here in the end of the first chapter, where he says that we come into the truth of God through the living and abiding Word of God. And this Word is the good news that was preached to you. So the spiritual milk is the good news that's preached to us. It's Scripture. It's the fulfillment of God's promises through Jesus Christ. That's how we grow in our faith. So it's coming into this knowledge of God in a very specific way, through God's Word. The first verse of chapter 2, I think, is a call for us to live in God's grace. And I put down here the point of living in the aroma of God's grace. I want to continue with the senses that we have. We can choose to live in God's grace or live outside of it. And the quality of our life, the characteristics that we have, the value systems that we live by, will be evident. And we look at the things that Peter puts here. He says, put away malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. And I wonder, why does he choose these things? And why are they all negative? Why doesn't he do a little bit of what Paul does and throw in there, put on these positive things? So I'm trying to get inside kind of the head of Peter on this. And my best guess is this. He's choosing these specific things that are negative because instead of being the things that are sweet and good, as he wants us to taste and see that the Lord is good, these are the things that are bitter, that should leave this bitter feeling, if we're going to use taste, in our mouth, or to stretch it out just into our lives. It's a bitterness. We should recognize it in our own lives and say, I don't want that. And to be nourished spiritually is to recognize these things as bitterness to us. And we don't want to be nourished on those things. It brings death. So I think that's why he chooses these, is to give a contrast of the things that are bitter versus the things that are sweet that he wants us to taste and see the goodness of the Lord, God's grace that is through Jesus. And he'd already mentioned before that through Christ, Christ is that lamb without blemish or spot, and that we were restored through him, through this precious blood of Christ. So there you have the good, and here is the bitter, all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, all things that begin inside the character and then work their way out. And Peter knows that when those things take over our soul, if those are the things that nourish our soul, then we're going to die. They begin to kill us. So it brings us back of not wanting to live in that taste or aroma, but in something else, in the goodness of the Lord, to live in God's grace. And that brings us back to taste and see that the Lord is good. His call is simple, isn't it? It's just to look at how wonderful and majestic and glorious God is, but to know that it's not something that's just out there. But taste, experience. Know, not just with your mind, but with your heart, with your whole being, that God is good and His goodness is for you. And God wants you to come into the fullness of His joy in all things. And then to know that God provides the way by giving us that spiritual nourishment through His Word. And to know that there are things that don't nourish us, but to live in God's grace by the good things. So we take these different characteristics of malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, and we turn them around, don't we? Just a 180-degree turn and say, what are you calling us to? We've been redeemed now by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've tasted the goodness of the Lord. So what do? We come into all that is gracious. And so we love one another and speak well of one another and care for one another and let our heart shine forth with that. Taste and see that the Lord is good each and every day. Now, for us to wake up, and if we're just feeling the weight of the world upon us, we're feeling hurt perhaps by some circumstance in life, or we're feeling as though life is frustrating, just pieces are not coming together right now, or you're tired, just life is busy and you're not getting the sleep that you need. God calls us to daily, maybe moment by moment, to refresh our souls, to be spiritually nourished so that we can taste the goodness of the Lord. Be encouraged in this, knowing that it is God who is with you in this and it wants and delights to share His fullness so that you can taste and know and experience the goodness of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, open our hearts more and more to receive You and to experience Your goodness in large ways and in small. Help us to recognize the bitter characteristics of life that can grab a hold of our soul and drag us down, and instead embrace Your grace and find the fullness of life that You have for us. Lord, help us to taste Your goodness in greater ways. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.